This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Haiti hunkers down. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. Welcome into Tuesday, October 4. Glad you're with us. And here's what we have for you this hour.
Hurricane Matthew is projected to cause catastrophic damage in Haiti, the most impoverished country in the Americas. Then what? We'll examine the threat to the eastern seaboard of the U.S.
Washington has suspended talks with Moscow over a ceasefire in Syria. What are the remaining options now for the Obama administration?
The first and only vice presidential debate between Mike Pence and Tim Kaine takes place this evening at Longwood University in Virginia.
And why some airports now have extraordinarily long walks to terminals and gates.
So you start with just the growth and industry consolidation has meant that the big airports are getting bigger, the medium airports are getting bigger, and so that's meant extending out concourses, adding gates on the end, building new concourses.
Wall Street Journal airline reporter Scott McCartney on the airports requiring the longest walks and why. He's here in about 20 minutes. The poorest country in the Americas is bracing for one of the worst storms in recent history. Hurricane Matthew is expected to bring catastrophic floods and mudslides to Haiti, which is already home to some of the most precarious living conditions. You'll recall more than 200,000 people were killed there in an earthquake 6 years ago. Many survivors are still living in flimsy, temporary shelters. In its poorest slum, some 150,000 Haitians have huts that can barely handle regular rain, let alone what Matthew could bring, which is up to potentially 3 feet of rain. John Hassey is head of programs for World Vision in the Haitian capital of Port-au-Prince.
There were no houses that were over, 10 feet above sea level. And so all of those houses are likely going to be really heavily damaged by the storm surge and the waves.
145-mile-an-hour winds right now with Matthew. Matthew is then forecast to hit Cuba and the Bahamas and possibly reach the east coast of the U.S. as a major hurricane, although it's possible it could stay offshore and never make landfall. In both Jamaica and Haiti, authorities shut the main airports, riding out the storm. Evacuations are well underway in Cuba. Another failure on the international scene for the Obama administration, which has announced it's ending talks with Russia over the failed ceasefire in Syria, a troubled agreement that was just 3 weeks old. The U.S. says Moscow's role in the bombardment of Aleppo left nothing more to discuss. Here's White House spokesman Josh Earnest.
When Russia announced this military intervention in Syria about a year or so ago, they did so with the intent to, quote, unite a broad range of forces. Well, here we are a year later, and Russia is standing alone with Iran, trying to prop up the Assad regime.
The end of the talks also put the onus on the Obama administration to consider other options for Syria. The Wall Street Journal reported last week that the Obama administration has revived an internal discussion over giving Syrian rebels new weapon systems. Also, Washington could allow countries like Turkey and Saudi Arabia to provide the rebels with more weapons unilaterally. Donald Trump is defending a report that he didn't pay federal income taxes for up to 18 years. The New York Times reported over the weekend that he declared a $900 million loss on his tax return in 1995, which he was able to use against future earnings. Much to the New York Times' disappointment, there was no wrongdoing, but Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton had fun with it.
In the debate, he said not paying taxes made him smart. But think about what that means. It means that all the rest of us who pay our taxes, right? What's he saying about us?
Mr. Trump told a rally in Colorado yesterday that using the tax code helped him rebuild his companies.
My understanding of the tax code gave me a big advantage over those who didn't have a clue, including many of my competitors who lost everything they had.
Mr. Trump and his allies argue that his role as a business owner requires him to pay as little in taxes as possible so that money can be reinvested and used to create more businesses and jobs, something they say wouldn't happen if the money went to the government as tax dollars. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Trips to the post office, as you know, are never convenient. So why not get postage right from your desk with Stamps.com? Stamps.com even gives you special postage discounts you can't get at the post office, including first class, priority mail, express, international, and more. You'll never pay full price for postage again. Here's how Stamps.com works. Using your own computer and printer, buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package. Then just hand your mail to the mailman or drop it in a mailbox. It's that easy. It's no wonder over 600,000 small businesses are already using Stamps.com. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A four-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Get started with Stamps.com today. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com and enter Deal. Reminder, by the way, that we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. If you like a little cynicism and sarcasm, you can follow me directly on Twitter with the username @GordonDeal. While much attention is paid to Hispanic and Black voters in this presidential election cycle, Asian Americans are the single fastest growing demographic group, highlighting their importance in some hotly contested states. Wall Street Journal reporter Michelle Hackman has a look at how the major party candidates are boosting outreach to Asian American communities. Michelle, what are you hearing?
Gordon, the Asian American segment of the population is actually the fastest growing demographic, faster than Latino Americans, even though they make up a much larger segment of the population. And Asian Americans, you know, they're a very diverse group of people. It's not like they speak one language. They speak over 50 languages. You know, our definition of Asian Americans counts people of Chinese heritage, people of South Asian heritage. So a very diverse group of people. However, in 2012, 73% of them voted for Barack Obama. So clearly they are a big get for the Democrats.
Interesting. And you point out, too, that Nevada and Virginia have the two highest per capita populations?
Yeah, so of the battleground states that matter, you know, in a few states like California, New Jersey, New York, the populations are even higher, or the segments of the population that are Asian American are higher. But in Nevada and Virginia, we see populations, you know, here in Virginia, it's about 6.5%. Nevada, it's about 8.5%. And around the country, it's closer to about 5.5. So, you know, these segments are influential in these states that are going to be won by very small margins.
So the Democratic outreach is what? It may, maybe not as aggressive, I guess, or far-reaching as the Republican outreach, since you mentioned so many voted for Obama 4 years ago?
Yeah, no. So actually, we're seeing quite a lot more Democratic outreach than Republican outreach. And partially, that's just because Donald Trump's campaign doesn't have a very extensive ground operation. So Democrats, you know, Hillary Clinton herself employs a director of Asian American Pacific outreach. They have a separate director in Nevada just because the population is so large there and is so influential. Trump, on the other hand, doesn't have someone on his own team. You know, he's farmed out someone from the Republican National Committee and just yesterday announced a council on Asian American issues.
Wow. With less than 8 weeks to go till the election.
Yeah.
Interesting. So that outreach might include what? I mean, what are they saying? Do they feel that they can at least recover some of that percentage that was lost to President Obama?
Yeah, for sure. And a lot of that requires just turning people out, knocking on doors. Another big thing is that a lot of Asian Americans, a third of them don't speak fluent English. And actually polls show that if you include those people in samples of Asian Americans, they're less Democratic leaning. So people who have just immigrated tend to be more sympathetic to the Republican Party. And so, you know, if they recruit volunteers to speak to those people in their own languages, then they have a better shot.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal politics reporter Michelle Hackman. Her story is called Parties Boost Asian American Outreach. Do the Asian Americans, generally speaking, vote? Even say, I guess specifically the ones that don't speak fluent English?
Yes. I think that they do generally have a high turnout rate. It just, you know, margins are so tight in places like Virginia, Nevada, even Pennsylvania, North Carolina, that turning out every last person could make the difference between a win and a loss.
Thanks, Michelle. Wall Street Journal politics reporter Michelle Hackman. It's 20 minutes after the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Haiti is feeling the fury of Hurricane Matthew, a Category 4 storm with sustained winds of 145 miles per hour. The storm is causing street flooding and forcing evacuations. John Cangelosi of the National Hurricane Center says Matthew is generating life-threatening winds, storm surge, and as much as 40 inches of rain in some areas.
And when you get that much rainfall, life-threatening flash floods and mudslides are certainly a big concern.
In the U.S., forecasters say it's too early to say how the East Coast could be impacted. Hillary Clinton says when it comes to Donald Trump, he always puts himself first. Speaking in Akron, Ohio yesterday, Clinton said Trump may have different worldviews because he was born into a millionaire family, and she called him out for not paying taxes.
In the debate, he said not paying taxes made him smart. But think about what that means. It means that all the rest of us who pay our taxes, right? What's he saying about us?
Campaigning in Colorado, Trump said people like Hillary Clinton have not added a single dollar to the economy. He also said it was the system that allowed him to avoid paying taxes.
And you know, with all those taxes, our roads are bad. Everything's bad. It's not like, oh, gee, we have high taxes, but everything is tippy-top.
They were Trump's first comments about a New York Times report that said he took more than $900 million in losses in 1995 that could have allowed him to avoid paying federal income tax for nearly two decades. They'll discuss the usual issues, but look for Mike Pence and Tim Kaine to have a lot to say about their running mates tonight. And they'll square off in the one and only vice presidential debate. And Google may be getting serious about selling its own hardware. Today, the search giant is expected to unveil a new smartphone and an internet-connected personal assistant for the home, similar to Amazon's Echo Speaker. Both are intended to showcase Google software and online services. A new virtual reality headset and other devices such as a home router could also be on tap.
Wow. All right. So the following is a list of things Google is not involved in. And there you have it.
Exactly.
Right, thanks, Jen. It's 22 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Any idea how far you sometimes walk to reach your gate once you get at the airport, or how far you run? Airport terminals are getting longer. In Philadelphia, it can be so long that you literally walk over the county line. Wall Street Journal airline writer Scott McCartney says several airports now report their longest potential walks stretch more than a mile, with some much longer. Scott, what are we looking at?
Well, walks are getting longer for travelers for a variety of reasons. And for some people, whether they have disabilities or older or struggling with mobility, it becomes a bigger and bigger issue. Use of wheelchairs and carts is up. Some airports are taking out moving sidewalks, which make walks longer, and using that space for seating or for bars and restaurants. And so there are just a lot of things conspiring against traveler in terms of long walks. Some people enjoy the walk, but you got to be prepared for actually, you know, in some cases you got to walk if you're going to walk, it's a mile or more. Yeah. for some connections and some trips to get to the gate.
Wow. Why have the walks gotten so long? Just is airports just sprawling or what?
Yeah, several things. So you start with just the growth and industry consolidation has meant that the big airports are getting bigger, the medium airports are getting bigger, and so that's meant extending out concourses, adding gates on the end, building new concourses. Airlines have been upgauging, so planes are getting bigger, and bigger planes generally have wider wingspans, and so you need more linear space for that. They've also been packing more seats on the planes, and so you got to add seating in the waiting rooms if you're going to accommodate all those people. Airports have been really pushing retail and creating a whole lot more restaurant options for people, shopping options for people, and that all increases the size of terminals. And there's been a shift from what used to be kind of an efficient system of circular terminals. I mean, you think about the original terminals at Newark or Dallas-Fort Worth or Houston or other places where you have multiple circular pods of gates, and you can put a lot of airplanes around the outer edges of the circle, but there's not a lot of space as you move inside. And so that's limited. That limited the retail space. That limited the even bathroom space or airline lounges. So airports have moved to long linear terminals where you have all kinds of space for people to spend money, and it's actually cheaper to operate one building instead of three. Mm-hmm. So you make the concourse as long as you possibly can to accommodate growth.
Thanks, Scott. Wall Street Journal airline writer and travel editor Scott McCartney, who's based in Dallas. It is 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Need a website? Why not do it yourself with Wix.com? No matter what business you're in, Wix.com has something for you. Used by more than 84 million people worldwide, Wix.com makes it easy to get your website live today. You need to get the word out about your business. It all starts with a stunning website. With hundreds of designer-made, customizable templates to choose from, and the drag-and-drop editor, there is no coding needed. You don't need to be a programmer or designer to create something beautiful. You can do it yourself with Wix.com. Wix.com empowers business owners to create their own professional websites every day. When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy. And that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy and free. Go to Wix.com to create your own website today. The result is stunning.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. It is Tuesday, October 4. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Hurricane Matthew roars into Haiti. The only vice presidential debate is tonight. The American League wildcard game is this evening. In politics, the New York Times broke the story of Trump not paying taxes, but back in 95, it talked about him as the comeback king for overcoming massive debt to save his business. Immunity deals for former Hillary staffers included the FBI agreeing to destroy their laptops. And the Montana man who survived an attack by a grizzly twice in one day. That story in about 20 minutes. If you're choosing to watch the vice presidential debate this evening instead of, say, the American League wild card game between Baltimore and Toronto, you may not recognize the moderator. CBS News correspondent and digital anchor Elaine Quijano is charged with asking the questions and keeping tonight's meeting at Longwood University in Virginia on track. But who exactly is Ms. Quijano, and why is her choice noteworthy? Here's Eliza Collins at USA Today. Eliza, moderators attract a lot of scrutiny these days.
To be a debate moderator, there is a ton of pressure going into these debates. You need to be fair. You need to be ask the right questions, but then also let the candidates kind of fill it out themselves. And we saw that last week with Lester Holt. He didn't talk a ton, and he let Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump kind of battle it out, and it showed a lot. So I was just looking at how she compares to other debate moderators in the past, and then just in this cycle, the vice president, she's the only one moderating the vice presidential debate, and there is only one. And she is unique in that she's the first Asian American journalist to ever moderate a debate. Mm-hmm. And she's also pretty young.
All right. So dive into that. She's Filipino American. Is that her background?
Yes, she's Filipino American.
And how does her age match up? How old is she? And what does that mean, say, in terms of other moderators?
So she's 42, which is not the youngest moderator ever, but it is the youngest moderator in a couple decades. Judy Woodruff was the moderator in 1988, and she was 41. So she's a year older, but a few, decades later. And I think we just generally see moderators who are a little bit older who have been doing this for a longer amount of time and who work for more the networks we're used to seeing on TV. But she works for CBS News Digital Streaming Service, which is also unique. They've never had a moderator from a streaming service before.
Wow. All right. So you think that the expectations for moderators today are different than they were, back then, 20 years ago, say?
I think so. I mean, I think that this race has kind of changed things so much. And we saw, leading into this first debate, Donald Trump just really over and over kind of bringing up these charges that, the debate moderators might not be fair, yeah. It's going to be rigged against me. And I think that puts a lot of pressure on the moderator in general to be fair and ask the right questions, but also you don't want to say anything that could be perceived as unfair. So they're going into this with just pressure on all sides to seem completely unbiased.
Yeah. We're speaking with Eliza Collins, politics reporter at USA Today. She's got an interesting story entitled Three Noteworthy Things About VP Moderator Elaine Quijano and the two vice presidential candidates, Mike Pence on the Republican side, Tim Kaine on the Democratic side, debate Tuesday night, their one and only debate. The complaints about Lester Holt, I thought he did a pretty good job, but people were kind of needling me saying, oh, no, he brought up the birther issue and wouldn't let it go, but he didn't ask a similar question of Mrs. Clinton. But I don't know, what does Elaine Quijano do? Does she bring up similar subjects?
Well, she's been pretty, we don't know exactly what she's going to do. Ever since the day she was announced as the moderator, she has completely stayed off Twitter. She's not weighed in. She's been quiet. So we have no idea what is going to happen tomorrow. Although we do know that whereas Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton kind of a lot of it, say, spectacle, we can say. Pence and Kaine are definitely more policy-driven, and so I think we're going to see a lot more substance rather than kind of this he said, she said. They're both very experienced politicians, respected kind of on both sides of the aisle, and have had a lot of time in spotlights with public speaking.
Thanks, Eliza. Eliza Collins from USA Today. 21 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us on this Tuesday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, playoff baseball's here, and looks like the Texas Rangers are determined to make sure that their fan base is adequately fueled for the postseason or that they can never get up from their seats. The Rangers, who have already set the bar high for outrageous ballpark food this season, announced that they would add 4 new menu items specifically for the playoffs. For starters, you can snack on the Tamarlington dog, which is a hot dog inside of a tamale topped with chili and nacho cheese. For your second course, Gordon, you can move on over to the Atomic Burger, which is a mere 2 pounds of meat topped with a monster-sized bun and ghost pepper cheese sauce.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, you got to make sure you have plenty of beer on hand for that. And if after all that you still have some room, the Rangers are offering up the NEQ sandwich. The NEQ stands for Never Ever Quit, which will be easier said than done with this messy hoagie. The NEQ is a Philly cheesesteak stuffed with fried jalapeno slices, onion rings, mozzarella sticks, and queso, topped with Captain Morgan sauce.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Okay, you know what? I'm a Rangers fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just announcing this morning. I'm a Texas Rangers fan.
We talked, I think, in the spring about the new stuff that they were offering up for their, for the regular season, but I guess they felt like they had to take it up a notch for the postseason.
I love it.
Yeah.
And why not? The players are. Fans are.
Yeah. It seems like it's going well for them this year. I figure if it's working, this year, they also go for it.
So if you and I went, for example, we'd have to get all 3 of these and split them.
With the row.
Yeah.
Or the section.
But you couldn't stay seated the whole time. We'd have to walk because you'd have to burn some of this off.
Right.
It would sit there like a log.
Well, that's why I kind of went in like size order here, because after the Tamarlington dog, it looks like you could probably get up and walk around.
Yes.
But after we get through the NEQ sandwich, nobody's going anywhere anytime soon. You got to hope for extra innings at that point.
And the follow-up question here, Mike, is does any of this stuff ship?
Yeah. I can't imagine that the Captain Morgan sauce and queso top sandwich is going to arrive in great condition.
Bummer.
And speaking of greasy food, Gordon, if you're not happy with what's happening with Republicans and Democrats this election season and you're looking for a third party you can sink your teeth into, here's a little something for you. A 42-year-old Massachusetts man named Josh Freeman has founded the Pizza Party, which is a political designation recognized by state election officials. Freeman told a local newspaper that he doesn't recruit members and no Pizza Party candidate has ever run for office or raised any money. Still, the Associated Press says that the party has enrolled 184 registered voters. That's enough to have a party listed as a political designation on the state's secretary's website, but about 42,000 or so votes short of being listed as an official party.
Okay. Well, there's time.
Yeah. And I'm sure their campaign rallies are fantastic. Probably have the best food of any of them.
Listen, looking ahead to 2020 right now.
Well, look,
42,000 voters away. That's not a lot in today's
time. You certainly can't rule anything out given the way this election season has gone.
True. I like his thought process. By the way, I think I've had pizza on Friday night every week for, I want to say, 11 years in a row.
Okay.
With either wine or beer. That's a Friday night is just pizza night. That's it. Thank you, Mike. 14 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Whether traveling or working remotely, we know your PC is your business headquarters. And when work takes you on the go, you need a laptop that can keep up. Dell's XPS 13 empowers small business owners to collaborate anywhere with incredible battery life and powerful performance. Reduce downtime by 50% and boost productivity with 4 times faster performance when you refresh to new Dell PCs featuring Intel Core processors. Explore the XPS 13 at Dell.com/radio. Thanks for being with us. Time now for a health and wellness update, and it's brought to you by Rite Aid. Get your flu shot at Rite Aid today, free with most insurance plans. Age restrictions apply in some states. See your Rite Aid pharmacist for details. Consider this as you walk in for your next doctor's visit. A new study suggests patients get care possibly depending on whether the doctor leans Democrat or Republican. Researchers at Yale surveyed more than 200 docs about how they'd react to different scenarios, especially hot-button issues like abortion, marijuana, guns. How about a scenario in which a woman who wasn't currently pregnant but had undergone 2 abortions earlier in life? Republican doctors, twice as likely as their Democratic counterparts, to say they discourage any future abortions, and 35% more likely to discuss so-called mental health aspects of abortion. And Democratic doctors were 66% more likely to say they'd urge parents of small children not to store guns in the home, while Republican doctors instead preferred to ask about safe storage of firearms. The survey is published in Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
People from Cuba to the Carolinas are getting ready for the potential impact of Hurricane Matthew. Heavy rains from Matthew are drenching Haiti and Jamaica, flooding streets and sending people to emergency shelters as the sprawling Category 4 storm steams through the two Caribbean countries. John Hassey of World Vision says Haiti's flimsy structures cannot endure this kind of storm.
There were no houses that were over, 10 feet above sea level. And so all of those houses are likely going to be really heavily damaged by the storm surge and the wave.
Forecasters say it's too early to tell if the hurricane will hit Florida or other parts of the East Coast. Donald Trump is drawing criticism for his remarks that many interpreted as reinforcing a stigma that veterans who suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder are weak.
When you talk about the mental health problems, when people come back from war and combat and they see things that maybe a lot of the folks in this room have seen many times over, and you're strong and you can handle it, but a lot of people can't handle it.
Vice President Joe Biden.
I don't think he was trying to be mean. He is just so thoroughly, completely uninformed.
Trump supporters say the remarks were taken out of context. It appears investigators are getting closer to figuring out what led to Prince's fatal overdose. Law enforcement officials say there are now 2 main questions to be answered. One is whether doctors illegally prescribed the opioids that were meant for the musician. The other is whether the drugs that killed Prince came from the black market. It's taking longer to get a burger or a cup of coffee from a drive-thru, but orders aren't being goofed up as often. According to QSR Magazine, The average speed of service among the 15 brands it studied was 226 seconds, up 4 seconds from a year ago. But the average order accuracy rose to 90% from 89%. The fastest fast food chain was Wendy's, which clocked in at an average drive-through speed of 169 seconds. The slowest, Starbucks, with a 300-second average.
5 minutes. 5 minutes even there for Starbucks.
For a cup of coffee.
300 divided by 6. Yeah. That is a long time. Mm-hmm. Especially in the morning.
All the time.
Yeah. I mean, when you're cranky and you need that.
When you're cranky.
Oh, man. Like you. You know, you can't. Sometimes you can't even talk to you in the morning.
Oh, I'm never cranky.
Teasing. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Think your weekend got off to a bad start? Probably wound up a lot better than it was for this guy from Montana who was attacked by a grizzly bear not once but twice. A video of a 50-year-old Bozeman man named Todd Orr has gone viral because he retold the story and posted it on Facebook. He was covered in blood from gashes that the bear made with her claws and teeth.
She got my head good. I don't know what's under my hat. My ear, my arm, pieces of stuff hanging out. I don't know what's going on in there. And then my shoulder, ripped up. I think my arm's broke.
Mr. Orr said the grizzly with two cubs came sprinting at him from about 80 yards away in the Madison Valley in southwest Montana. He said bear spray didn't work, nor did his attempts to make noise to alert the bear of his presence. He said he protected the back of his neck, but the grizzly swiped the right side of his head, creating a deep gash several inches long and a puncture to his arm. His video, by the way, has been viewed more than 12.5 million times. If you're going to look it up, again, his name is Todd Orr, O-R-R. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe and leave a review on iTunes. For more from This Morning Show, check us out at thismorningwithgordondeal.com.